I would just like to mention here that when we get these opportunities to listen to the hamd, the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the naat, the praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which nowadays has become very common. We get naat, we get nazams. I would just like to remind myself and my respected mothers and sisters and my brothers that nowadays this has become a trend. It has become a trend to just listen to poems, naat, nazams, just for the tune and just for entertainment. It is the teaching of deen that anything we do with a purpose. And it is the teaching of our elders, the practice of our elders, that they would do nothing without a purpose. When we engage ourselves in just listening to naat and nazams for the sake of entertainment, it is pleasing to the ears, time is passing, we feel happy. And maybe for this purpose we listen, then this is in fact wasting our time, wasting our precious time. Yes, this has been a practice in the Ummah where poems have been read. And from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu anhu used to say poetry. But it was with a purpose. And until any task is not done with a purpose, a person cannot fully benefit from this. So it is my earnest request to all that whenever we listen to any naat, any nazam, let us have the right intention. The intention should be that this is the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taking place. The praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should ponder upon the meaning. And this should be the purpose. We should ponder upon the meaning of what is being conveyed. And this should enlighten our hearts with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which would in turn bring amal into our lives. This is the purpose. We enlighten our hearts with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We remind ourselves of the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the favors of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then this brings us unto amal, which is the purpose. So let us listen to naat and nazam with this intention, and let us not waste our time in listening just for entertainment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me and you all the ability to practice upon this. Now for the second speech of the day, I humbly request my respected Ustaz Hazrat Mawlana Yasab Hafizahullah ta'ala, who is a senior figure at the Islamic Dawah Academy, who has been with our most honorable Shaykh Hafizahullah ta'ala from the initial stages of the Islamic Dawah Academy, and who is now principal at the Islamic Dawah Academy, and who is a senior teacher of Hadith. It is my humble request to all the mothers and sisters and all my brothers to listen very attentively to the advices of my most respected Ustaz Hazmullah Yasab Hafizahullah ta'ala, and let us listen with this intention that we'll practice upon what has been said.
الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وسارئوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم وجنة أرضها السماوات والأرض أعدت للمتقين الذين ينفقون في السراء والضراء والكاذمين الغيظ والعافين عن الناس والله يحب المحسنين صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم most honorable and respected mothers and sisters, my dear brothers and young friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed the Quran, which is the final book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the final message for the guidance of mankind. And we are very fortunate to be from the followers of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, having been blessed with this glorious book. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us true connection to the Quran. May He enable us to read the Quran, understand the Quran, and practice upon the Quran. This book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the moment that it was revealed upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam till today, until the end of time, will remain as it is. Injunctions and commands that have been mentioned within this book shall also remain. Nothing shall be deducted or added to this book. And as human beings, as followers of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we want to acquire success in this world and ultimately in the hereafter, we will have to hold fast to this book. We will have to practice and follow whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in this book. So there are many lessons that we learn, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has drawn our attention to in the Quran. And during the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his life of prophethood, which is 23 years, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this book. And everything that a human being will encounter in his life with fine detail, and every scenario, has not been mentioned in the book, because that is impossible, because there's millions, billions of people that have come from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who are Muslim, who are existing today, who will come until the end of time. So the exact number of Muslims that existed from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam till the end of time, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows their number, and each person's situation, scenario in life is not the same. Yes, a few people's situation may be similar or the same, but in general terms, every person's situation and condition is different from another. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran has mentioned the principles that a human being will face and encounter in this world. And through the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has then explained. And a human being, whatever condition, situation, scenario he may find himself in until the end of time, he will find the solution either clearly in the Quran, or find the principle that has been mentioned in the Quran, or in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that explains that particular scenario or situation. But a human being will never be faced with a situation that he finds himself clueless or does not know what he has to do. No matter how much this world advances and progresses. Obviously, when we look from a logical point of view, the world has progressed so much from the time of the Prophet. The manner of transportation has changed. Communication has changed. But despite that, you will find in the teachings of Allah and His beloved Prophet ﷺ solution to each and every situation that a human being will encounter and come across, either clearly, directly or indirectly. Directly or indirectly. And a person will know, no matter how much changes occur in this world, no matter how much this world evolves, no matter how much this world evolves and changes, a person will still know what to do at what time and how to behave at a particular moment. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever He has revealed, that is His word. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from evolution. Allah does not evolve. Allah, from the beginning, has been there and is the same as He was from the beginning till the time of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, till today and until the end of time. Because anything that accepts change or evolution cannot be the creator, because it is dependent upon someone creating it then. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from evolution and He does not evolve. So similarly, His words, what He revealed to the Prophet ﷺ, cannot evolve. They have to remain the same as they were when they were revealed over 1400 years ago, till today and until the end of time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran obviously has shown us how we are to live on this earth in order to acquire success of this world and the success of the hereafter. And we have been sent into this world for a test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us to test us how we fare with regards to following the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who follow the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be blessed with the pleasure of Allah and with gardens of paradise on the Day of Judgment. And those who fail in this test of theirs and do not abide by the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will face the wrath and anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and doom and punishment in the form of the fire of hell on the Day of Judgment. And because mankind, he has been created in a manner and fashioned in a particular manner, that when he is given glad tidings of reward, when reward is mentioned to him, then this instigates him, encourages him to practice. Similarly, when he is warned about something that is harmful, then he fears doing that thing. That is the instinct with which human beings have been created. For this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well, in the Quran, after mentioning that He has created us to test us, time and again, He gives us hope by mentioning reward, His pleasure by mentioning Jannah, and the different blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for us. And to stop us from disobeying Him, time and again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions His punishment and warns us from disobeying Him. Because that is the instinct with which a human being is motivated to do something or stay away from something. Everyone accepts this fact in this world as well. Regardless of looking at this from a religious point of view, a human being, from a worldly perspective, that is how he behaves as well. When he sees some benefit coming his way, he will try to acquire that. When he knows that he's going to get
extra money for doing overtime at work, so he sees the benefit, so he'll do that work. When he sees that if he's going to come late to work, he's not going to get money, or his wage will be deducted, then he'll stop from coming late. In this world as well, a human being, he strives to do those things that bring benefit to him, and strives to stay away from those things that harm him, because that is how Allah has created mankind. So similarly, it's the same with regards to our fulfilling the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and staying away from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah gives us warnings in order to make us attentive with regards to not disobeying Allah. And He gives us glad tidings and promises as a reward in order to motivate us to do those things that would bring us benefit in this world and the hereafter. So in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He adopts both of these methods. Sometimes He gives warning, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives us glad tidings. In the verse of the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted me the tawfiq to share with you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse of the Quran mentions, وَسَارِئُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ أَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. That hasten towards forgiveness from your Lord. سَارِئُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ. And hasten towards a garden. أَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ. As wide as the heaven and the earth. وَعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. That has been prepared for those who have taqwa, who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this particular verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Ali Imran. And before this verse, as mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives warning for those people who engage in a particular disobedience. And that is the disobedience of interest usury. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives warning and says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَأْكُلُوا الرِّبَا أَضْعَافًا مُضَاعَفَةً وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. That, O you who believe, do not consume usury, interest, double and multiply. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that you may acquire success. So first Allah mentions warning from disobeying Him by way of engaging in interest-based transactions. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to explain how severe this sin is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي أُعِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. That fear the fire that has been prepared for the disbelievers. Fear the fire that has been prepared for the disbelievers. The commentators of the Quran mention that from this we understand that the fire that Allah has created in order to punish, it has different levels and different stages. It is not that someone who disobeys Allah for a less amount of time, his going into the fire is going to be the same as someone who disobeyed Allah more. And there will be the same fire. Similarly, someone who believed Allah yet disobeyed and went into the fire, he cannot be put in the same fire as the person who completely disobeyed and disbelieved. Because this is going to be used as something to taunt the believer. Because the disbeliever could say to him, that what use did your belief come to you? You are also in the fire of hell as me. So he's going to go into the fire if he disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and going with the state of belief. But him being placed in the fire of hell is going to be different to that fire of hell that has been prepared for the disbeliever. But here, while giving warning with regards to interest, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, or He addresses the believer, that those who believe, do not consume usury, and then says at the end, وَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي أُعِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. That fear the fire that has been prepared for the disbelievers, to warn us that this sin is so severe, that unlike any other sin, when you may go into the fire of hell, your level in the fire of hell will be different from the fire of hell of the disbelievers. But usury and interest is such a sin that you will be placed in the same fire as the fire of the disbelievers. And Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi would say that هذه أخفف آية في القرآن, that there is no ayah in the Quran which gives graver warning or which can scare a person and create fear in him more than this verse. Because Allah never says with regards to a believer disobeying him that fear the fire of the disbelievers. He just says fear the fire, which indicates that if you have to go into the fire in the state of belief, it's going to be different from the fire of the disbelievers. But this is the only point in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that fear the fire which has been prepared for the disbelievers. Because the outcome of a person dying with belief, who engages in usually an interest, is that he may go into the fire that has been prepared for the disbelievers. And more importantly, the commentators of the Quran mention that this is an indication that a person can, Aliyadu billah, Allah say God and protect us all, can go away without iman. That is why he will be going into the fire that has been prepared for the disbelievers. So the point that I was mentioning was to explain that Allah in the Quran mentions warning, and this is one particular disobedience that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned and drawn our attention towards. And because this is something that unfortunately many people take lightly, or they don't give due regard to, and engage in interest-based transactions, either take out loans to buy a car, especially to buy a house, after having one house, another house, whereas there is no need. And they take this dealing with interest very lightly. For this reason I thought, let me just mention this. But my main point was to mention the other part of this surah and the verse that I had recited, to explain to you that after mentioning this warning, Allah is now drawing our attention towards what He has prepared for the believers and for those who obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah never just mentions warning, and tries to only create fear in us in a manner that a person may fear from something that is harmful. Allah does not behave like that, because Allah is very merciful. Allah is very loving. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He gives us warning in the Quran, it is not because He hates us. It is not because He hates us or He looks for excuses to punish us. That is not how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with His servants. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more merciful to His creation than a mother is to her small infant and child. Allah is more merciful than that. And it is said in the Urdu language, a poet says that Rahmati Khuda Baha Nami Joyed, Baha Nami Joyed, that the Rahmah and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look for excessive good deeds or something that is expensive that would draw the attention of Allah and His mercy. Bahana mijoyat, it looks for an excuse. So for the mercy of Allah to be attracted, a person does not have to do something excessively in an abundance. It could be something very insignificant and very small that could attract the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, after giving warning from disobeying Him and drawing our attention to a particular sin, He mentions those things that would attract the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَصَارِئُوا إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ أَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, that hasten toward forgiveness from your Lord and a garden as wide as the heavens and the earth, which has been prepared for the muttaqeen. So above He mentioned something that was prepared for the disbelievers, for those who engage in disobeying Him, and now He's mentioning that hasten towards forgiveness and the garden, Jannah, which has been prepared for those who are the muttaqeen. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions certain qualities of the muttaqeen. So here Allah is saying that hasten and rush towards maghfirah. This does not literally mean that he is telling us that hasten towards saying Astaghfirullah, hasten towards saying, oh Allah, forgive me. The commentators of the Quran mention that Maghfirah here means that hasten towards all those things that are a means of Maghfirah, which in short is good deeds. So Allah is saying that hasten towards good deeds, because good deeds is going to take you to Jannah. And Allah uses the term Maghfirah, whereas in reality Allah is telling us that hasten towards Jannah, because that is our goal. But why doesn't he say hasten towards Jannah? Commentators of the Quran mention, because it is the Maghfirah and the mercy of Allah that will take a person into Jannah. It is not his deeds. It is not his deeds. Yes, deeds will attract the mercy and forgiveness. So we have to do deeds, but a person's deed has to be of that standard that it would draw the attention of Allah. It will make him worthy of the mercy and forgiveness of Allah. So if his deeds are not correct, from the apparent they seem correct, he's performing salah, he's giving zakah, but he's not doing that for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's not attracting the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is why Allah says that hasten towards maghfirah. That ensure that the good deeds that you are doing are worthy of maghfirah. Because that is what is going to take you to Jannah. Whereas reality, the goal is Jannah. So you should have just said that hasten towards Jannah. But because you can't enter Jannah without the forgiveness and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is dependent upon good deeds, Allah is saying that hasten towards forgiveness. Hasten towards forgiveness. Hasten towards all those means that would attract the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our responsibility in this world is that we do all those things that would draw the attention of Allah towards us, that would attract the mercy of Allah, that would attract the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that would include doing all those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed us to do, and staying away from everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to stay away from. And when a person does that, he is a muttaqi. He is regarded as a muttaqi. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says at the end of this verse, وَإِذَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, the garden that has been prepared for those who are muttaqeen, those who are Allah conscious, Allah fearing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how merciful He is, that the sole purpose of revealing the Quran, Allah mentions that He has sent this book, revealed this book, which is hudan lil muttaqin, which is guidance for those who are muttaqin, which again does not negate the fact that a person who is not muttaqi, he is not guided. That is a different discussion in itself. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that those who are muttaqi, they will definitely find guidance in the Quran, which will safeguard and protect them from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, encourage them to carry out the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So muttaqi is a general term. But time and again in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives certain indications and mentions certain qualities to us so that we are very clear with regards to understanding what muttaqi is. So Allah did not just say muttaqi and that's the end of it. In various places in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions certain qualities of those people who are muttaqi. So that first and foremost, we are able to understand what muttaqi means. And secondly, because in order to acquire this quality, it is also dependent upon being in the company of those who have taqwa. So a lot of us may not know who's got taqwa. So Allah mentions that deeds and signs, that if you see in a person that is doing this, he's doing this, he's doing this, this is how he behaves, this is a quality that you see in him, then you should conclude that he is muttaqi. So look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Honorable Shaykh Ridhullah mentions, He has created for a test. And generally in a test, a person is not given the answers. He has to find the answers out himself in the examination. But look at how beautifully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He gives us the answers to this test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us undergo for this examination that we are all going through until we breathe our last. So not a single human being, and especially a believer, can say to Allah on the day of judgment that, "Oh Allah, I did not know what I had to do. I did not know how to behave. I did not know what were the things that I needed to stay away from." Because very clearly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the answers to this test and this examination that we are facing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from among the answers that He gives us, which will take us towards the light, which will safeguard and protect us, and make us a muttaqi, He mentions to us the qualities of a muttaqi. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِكُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَاذِمِينَ الْغَيْضِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. That was a muttaqi. So there are many qualities of them which are spread out in the Quran. But in this particular section of Surah Ali Imran, Allah is mentioning a few qualities. Allah mentions first of all, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِكُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. Those who spend in ease and in hardship. It's one quality of a muttaqi. A person who is fearing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that he would spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly mentions that while spending, the person's condition could be that he is in the state of prosperity, sarra, he's in ease. Or he could be in the state of darra, adversity, hardship. So Allah does not just say that a person will only spend or should only spend when he is in prosperity. Allah says in all conditions. So even a poor man, he would spend. Yes, he may not spend 100 or 1,000, he can at least spend a pound, he can at least spend a few pennies, but he would definitely spend according to his condition and situation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has indicated very clearly that from among the qualities of a person who is muttaqi, he would be spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what all of us need to inculcate in our lives. Piety does not just depend upon our outer appearance. That if you have a beard, we don a kurta and a topi, or we have a jubba and niqab and a hijab, that we have become pious. No, we need to look deeper into the meaning of piety, so that we are able to benefit from it, and we are also able to benefit others. Or else we are fooling ourselves, we are fooling others as well. So from among the qualities, one is that spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And spending, there's no limit, there's no condition with regards to how the spender should be. Even if he is in adversity, he will still spend. Yes, according to whatever little Allah has given him, he will still spend. That is why the Prophet ﷺ says that اِتَّقُ النَّارَ وَلَوْ بِشِكِّ تَمْرَةٍ. That spend and fear the fire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if it is half a date. The Prophet ﷺ is saying that when the opportunity comes to spend, you don't have money, you only have a date, and even that is a half a date. But you could give that to someone that is in need, even give that, in order to show us that no little amount should be disregarded when it comes to spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not only that, once Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Imam Bayhaqi rahimahullah, mentions a hadith which Imam Razi rahimahullah mentioned in his tafsir, that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once encouraged the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum to spend, they, upon being encouraged, some came with gold, some came with silver. A person came with a peel, or the outer layer of a date. So he did not even have a full date. He had only the outer layer, the skin of a date. So he gave that to the Prophet ﷺ. So Prophet ﷺ wholeheartedly accepted that. Another person came and he said, "O Prophet of Allah, I've got nothing to spend. I only have honor. I am regarded as the honorable person of my people, so I've come to spend my honor. And I give you my honor," meaning that from now onwards, if someone was to mistreat me or do anything that would anger me, so because I'm honorable, I will not treat him according to the honor that I have been given. I will forgive and pardon him. The Prophet ﷺ accepted that. So the commentators of the Quran mentioned that here, if you look carefully in this verse of the Quran, الَّذِينَ يَنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ, Allah does not mention what to spend. He's not saying that spend gold, spend silver, spend money, spend jewelry. He's saying only spend. So the conclusion of this verse is that a muttaqi, in reality, would be that person who would always keep in contention and in mind the condition of people around him. And he will always treat him with kindness and be affectionate towards them. So he will spend his wealth, if he has, he will spend his time, he will spend his effort. So not necessarily a person has to spend wealth. And this is what we find in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, where the Prophet ﷺ says, that كُلَّ مَعَرُوفٍ صَدَقَةٌ, every good that a person does is sadaqah. So why is it sadaqah? One meaning of sadaqah is that you get the same reward as spending. But in reality, a person, when he does any good, he's actually engaged with his body and with time. So that engagement of his body and time, he's spending. He's spending that. So anything that you spend, it is sadaqah. So for that reason, the Prophet ﷺ says that every good that you do is sadaqah, and you'll get the same reward. You'll get the same reward. So my brothers and my sisters, we should not disregard any good that we do, and especially the time and effort that we spend behind someone. And especially as Maulana Saad Sahib, Hafidhullah, before me, draw our attention towards the tarbiyah and the nurturing of our children. Imagine the time that a mother and father spend behind the child, that is also spending. So we spend wealth upon them, we buy clothes for them, we give them a good home, we give them a good education. But whatever tarbiyah we do, that is also regarded as spending. And we will be getting so much reward for that. So we should not disregard that. And because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is drawing our attention towards hastening to those means that bring maghfirah, we should be very particular with regards to nurturing our children and paying attention towards them carrying out all those a'mal that would draw the attention of Allah and draw His maghfirah and mercy. And anything that would take them away from that, we should be very concerned and wary of. Especially in the day and age that we live in, a lot of the gadgets that they have at their disposal, a parent never wishes bad for the child. That is impossible that a parent would want any bad to come to the child. And most definitely in the hereafter, any parent would not want their child to go into the fire of hell. So every parent, every mother, every father is concerned about the child. But we don't look at those means that become an obstacle in our child doing good deeds. So just as we have to adopt the means of good deeds, we have to also adopt those means and stay away from those means that take them towards doing bad things. Because that is also amal saliha. So we have to do amal saliha, which means good deeds, and also staying away from bad deeds. So just as we have to adopt the means of good deeds, we have to adopt those means that would safeguard and protect us from bad and evil. And from among them is those things that we give to our children very readily nowadays, without paying much attention towards what they're doing, what they're watching, what they are engaged in. And the times will change, many things may change, which in the past were not seen from that same perspective. But it's our responsibility to ensure that whatever we see as important for nurturing our children, for safeguarding and protecting them, we basically protect them from that. If we don't have a good family environment at home, if we don't have a loving relationship at home with our children, with our spouses, then this would most definitely have an adverse effect upon our child. especially when they are taught different things with regards to relationships. If our relationship as a mother and father is not good, and we can't bolster this relationship as being the most effective relationship for a human being and for the upbringing of a child, their minds will go elsewhere. They will be attracted towards other things. So it is our responsibility to ensure that we fulfill this role as a father and a mother and do not let their minds waver here and there. And do not let shaitan whisper into their minds that if the mother and father relationship was the correct relationship, this would never have happened. So you have to be very careful with regards to how these things play a part in molding the mindset of our child. So when we spend time behind our children, when we exert effort behind nurturing them, that is also spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was one quality. The second quality Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَالْكَاذِمِينَ الْغَيْلِ, those who restrain their anger. So the quality of a muttaqi is he who upon being angered will not fulfill the demands of the anger. He will restrain his anger. He will restrain his anger. This again, in our day-to-day life, with our family, with our close associates, how many a time we hear so many incidents now. It has got to a stage where you hear quite often that someone that was married with someone takes the life of the spouse or takes the life of the wife just because of an argument. Okay, in the past they may have been abused, swearing or whatever foul language, but nowadays this has reached a stage where life is taken. So look at where anger can lead a person. So who is the cause of this? Shaitan and Iblis, because he is the one who instigates and fuels the fire of anger. And that is why the Prophet ﷺ said that anger is from Shaitan, and because Shaitan is made from fire, in order to cool a person's anger, the Prophet ﷺ has taught certain things. If you're standing, you sit down. Because fire, it rages. And when you put the fire down, it goes off. So while standing, you'll be more angered. So sit down, you'll cool down. In the state of anger, drink water, because fire is extinguished with water. If you're sitting, then lie down, because you're more close to ground and more close to your reality, because you have been made from soil. And soil is something which is, in comparison to many other things, seem to be debased and low. So when you go closer to the ground, this will extinguish your anger. So shaitan is the one who instigates this anger, and a person out of anger says things, does things, behaves in a manner which again spoils the family environment and which does not allow our children to behave or take the positive from our lives. So it's very important that we bring this quality into our lives and we restrain our anger. We restrain our anger. It is mentioned with regards to Ali ibn Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhuma that once his maid was serving him and she brought water for him to perform wudu. So when she came with the utensil of water, it slipped out of her hand and it soiled the clothes of Ali ibn Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. So naturally he became angry, because obviously anything that goes against a person's desire would naturally make him angry. So to become angry, to be affected by a scenario, situation which makes you angry, that is not wrong. That is a human instinct. So when we say that do not become angry, that does not mean that you should never experience any anger whatsoever. It means that when anger comes over you, you don't fulfill the demands of that anger. So anger will come, but you don't fulfill the demands of that anger. If that anger demands that you swear, you don't swear. If the anger is instigating you to hit someone, you don't hit. If it instigates you to take revenge, you don't. But you will feel the anger, that is natural. Because without experiencing anger, a person will not be able to differentiate between right and wrong. If his son is doing something wrong and he does not become angry, how would he tell him that you're not supposed to do that? So he has to become angry. But what the anger dictates, he does not fulfill that. So Ali ibn Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when the water soiled his clothes, naturally he became angry. So this maid, looking at Ali ibn Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu, she said these verses of the Qur'an, that Allah says in the Qur'an, وَالْكَاذِمِينَ الْغَيْلِ, that the muttaqi and the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those who subdue the anger, restrain the anger. So upon hearing this, he immediately said, تَذَمْتُ غَيْلِ, I have restrained my anger. I have restrained my anger. And then Allah mentions further on, that وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. So she also said that Allah says, وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. So not only restrain your anger, so a person could become angry, restrain the anger, but still have ill feelings for that person. That why did he behave with me in this way? So the greater degree of restraining anger and more rewarding is that a person also forgives that person. That is what Allah says further, وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. So she said that Allah says, وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, that the muttaqi are those who forgive people. So he said to her, قَدْ عَفَوْتُكِ, that I have forgiven you. And then Allah further says, not only do the muttaqi restrain the anger and they forgive, they do something far greater than that. The one that behaved ill with them, they behave with goodness with them. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, that Allah loves those who do good. So she read this, so he said, قَدْ أَحْسَنْتُ إِلَيْكَ, that I have done good towards you, and I have emancipated you for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So someone who had angered him, look at the final outcome of his behavior towards them. That he not only forgave, he also emancipated and freed this maid. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse of the Quran mentions the qualities of those who are muttaqi, that they are those who spend in prosperity as well as adversity. And spending not only wealth, they spend everything, their time, their effort. And they would behave with others in a manner that they will always try to bring comfort to others. They would always try to remove problems and difficulties from others. And then another quality, وَالْكَاذِمِينَ الْغَيْلِ, those who restrain the anger. And the third quality, وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, those who forgive people. And then وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, Allah loves those who are the muhsineen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whilst mentioning the quality of muttaqeen, has mentioned first of all these qualities, which all have something in common, which is that they are related to the hukuk of Allah, the servants of Allah. They are related to the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions his rights, the hukuk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a muttaqi will fulfill the rights of fellow human beings, and he'll also fulfill the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ, that those who do any wrong, those who behave with immorality, indecency, or they oppress themselves, ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ, they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ, and they seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in short, a muttaqi is that person who will fulfill the rights of fellow human beings, fulfill the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to show us the importance of the rights of fellow human beings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned first and foremost the rights of fellow human beings. Whereas the most important right is the right of Allah. He has created us. There is no right upon us far greater than the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the rights of human beings. Why? For various reasons. One reason is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we violate his right, we do not affect him in any way. He does not need our worship. We can't harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can't benefit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So by us violating the rights of Allah, we neither benefit him, we neither harm him. But when we violate the rights of fellow human beings, we harm them. So for this reason, Allah mentioned the rights of fellow human beings first, and then mentioned his rights. And secondly, as our Honorable Shaykh Abdullah mentions, that if we look at the rights that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to fulfill, the rights of Allah and the rights of fellow human beings, so from one aspect, the rights of fellow human beings is more important Because in reality, there are two rights associated to that. One is the right of the human being, and the right of Allah. Why the right of Allah? Because it is Allah that has told us to fulfill the rights of this human. It is Allah that has said that fulfill the rights of your parents. It is Allah that has said that fulfill the rights of your husband, fulfill the rights of your wife, fulfill the rights of your children, fulfill the rights of your relatives, fulfill the rights of your neighbors, fulfill the rights of Muslims, fulfill the rights of non-Muslims, fulfill the rights of humans, animals. It is Allah that has told us to fulfill these rights. So, rights associated to the creation of Allah, it has the right of that creation as well as the right of Allah associated to it. So when a person violates that right, he is violating two rights. That is what it makes it more severe in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to bring these qualities into our lives so that not only do we acquire the ultimate success of the hereafter of Jannah, but more importantly, so that our life in this world is also free of trouble. We are able to live harmoniously. We are able to live with love and affection among ourselves. So the qualities of a muttaqi very clearly indicate to us that this person will never violate the rights of a human being and will never violate the rights of any rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we hold fast to this, inshallah, we will be successful in this world and we will be successful in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to act upon what has been said. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly make us from those who hasten towards those good deeds that would take us towards Allah's forgiveness, take us towards Jannah, take us towards being a muttaqi. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save God and protect us from being from among those people who stay far away from the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who take themselves towards the fire of hell. May Allah protect and save God as well.